Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. A couple questions to start the show. What helps you stand up strong? What keeps you from flopping like a noodle on the floor? And what gives your body its shape, protects your heart and brain? Well, it's your bones, of course. The most debilitating diseases are often the ones that we don't see coming. And osteoporosis is a sneaky one. In fact, osteoporosis is often called the silent killer because there are few warning signs, and the ones that do show up are sometimes so benign, they're very easy to overlook. But knowledge is power, and knowing the signs, symptoms, and potential causes can prepare us, even help us avoid osteoporosis altogether. Yes, it can be done. Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., will talk to us today about bone health and what you can start doing today to strengthen your bones and prevent or even reverse osteoporosis. Dr. Susan, welcome to the program. It's great to have you.
Hey, Rick. So glad to be back with you. And, you know, of all the centuries we've worked together, it seems like, we've never tackled this topic. So I'm excited about this. And also, a lot of people think I don't need to worry about this until I get older, but you really want to start at a young age, even way before 30, to strengthen your bones so that you don't have problems when you get older. So I'm excited about this topic today.
And here's the topic.
Men and women and people of all ages.
That's the thing that's so nice as I'm looking over this as we were preparing ahead of time. It's like, boy, this is for everybody. So we're going to jump right into it. Osteoporosis, something we hear a lot about, don't pay a lot of attention to most people until we get older. What exactly is osteoporosis? How many Americans are afflicted with it? And who is at most at risk for this?
Okay, and then you just said we'll jump right into it, and later you'll hear why jumping is good for strengthening your bones.
So remember jumping. We'll come back to that later.
Yes. So I guess we could end the show now. All right, so let me address everything you just said. The definition, the literal definition of osteoporosis is porous bone, and that aptly describes this condition because when bones start to lose their density, pores or holes develop in areas where the bone loss has occurred. And then this causes bones to become weak and brittle, and that greatly will increase the risk of breaks and fractures. Now, osteoporosis has become probably one of the major public health problems in America, and there are over 10 million Americans living with this condition. People affected with osteoporosis have low bone density and diminishing bone mass, and the rates of osteoporosis run highest in women over 50, but men can be affected too. Now, you don't notice it as much in men because most men have more bone density to begin with than women, but they still can be affected, so it's for everyone. And over time, the gradual loss of bone density can make your bones more susceptible to fractures, particularly in these areas. Do you know what the areas are, Rick?
No.
Hips, wrists, and your spine.
Oh,
and
okay.
On the bright side here, the glass half full, there are natural ways to prevent osteoporosis from getting worse and that can also reverse the damage that's been done. We'll talk about that today. You can read more about it in my book, Wired for High-Level Wellness.
And all of this information with Dr. Susan on our website, SusanSmithJones.com. We'll go to our website and we'll link on from there as well. How do you know if you have weak bones or if you already have osteoporosis? And how dangerous is osteoporosis? It sounds like we certainly want to avoid this.
Yes. Yeah, good questions. So unfortunately, most people get diagnosed after they've having a fall or broken a bone. And it only gets worse from there, Rick. Statistics, unfortunately, show that 13% of the population will die within 6 months of a hip fracture. And alarmingly, that number goes up to 24% within 2 years after fracturing a hip. Now, none of us want to be a statistic. And one way to avoid becoming another number is to be proactive with your diet, your exercise, and other lifestyle practices, and also to have your bone mineral density, that's BMD, checked by a doctor. And the most accurate test to determine that BMD is a DEXA, a DEXA scan. That's a dual X-ray that measures the porousness of your bones. So I would say after about the age of 50, check with your doctor. If they don't mention it first, everyone should have this bone density test.
You hear so often someone, as they get older, has a fall and never really recover from that. In fact, many people say they go downhill dramatically after that. And you just brought up that point that once you have that breakage, once you suffer a fall and break one of the areas that you were talking about, it's very difficult to bounce back from. Our guest on the program is Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., talking about strong bones at any age, preventing and reversing osteoporosis. What are some of the risk factors for osteoporosis?
Yes, excellent. So they're both uncontrollable and controllable risk factors that will contribute to your risk of developing osteoporosis. Now, by the age of 30, like I said, 30, not 50, but 30, bone density levels have peaked, so bone mass decreases from that point on for everybody.
Wow.
And having a... Yes, I know. A lot of people think it's just for older people.
Well, I'm in that...
We've got to keep our bones strong.
Yes, I'm in that rapidly decreasing category there. So
Yes, we both are.
Yes.
And having a family history of osteoporosis is also an uncontrollable risk factor. And if you've experienced fractures in the past, weak bones may already be an issue that you can't control. But on the other hand, there are controllable risk factors that can be managed, meaning there are things that you can do to regain your bone mass and promote osteoporosis reversal. And some controllable risk factors include being a smoker, living a sedentary lifestyle, having calcium and vitamin D deficiencies, eating a diet that's lacking in fruits and vegetables. And you and I once did a whole show about metabolic acidosis.
Yep.
And how if your body becomes too acidic, which is the case for about 80% of Americans because of their diet, and I talked about the, and that will cause more osteoporosis. We'll talk about that in a moment. But that's why I always am drinking my good alkaline water. We'll get to that in a moment. If you consume excess amounts of salt, protein, and caffeine, that's a controllable risk factor that you want to do the opposite. If you have excessive amounts of alcohol, that will also be a risk factor that you can control by not drinking excessive amounts of alcohol.
I want to go back and reemphasize what you said, ways to reverse osteoporosis. From what you're saying, there are proven ways that we can do that. And does it start with diet? Is that sort of the key? And going through some of the food and beverages that we drink, it sounds like that's the start.
It is so important because you control what you eat. Nobody, we hope, Rick, shoves food down your throat or beverages. And let's start with an alkaline diet. And you and I have done numerous shows on metabolic acidosis and alkaline diet and all the foods to eat. But let me sort of bottom line it here. So we want to emphasize an alkaline diet, and here's why. The blood's pH level has a tremendous impact on your bone health. You might not think it, but it really does, and here's why. The pH scale that you and I've talked about on other shows goes from 0 to 14, with 0 being highly acidic and 14 being the highest alkaline level. And the body's health thrives when your blood pH levels run slightly higher than 7, which is considered a more alkaline than acid. And the body works hard, Rick, really hard to maintain a slightly alkaline 7-plus pH level in the blood to the point where it will literally leach whatever materials it needs from your cells, your tissues, your muscles, and your bones to maintain it. And with today's standard American diet, you know, that sad diet of high fat, low fiber, high sugar, it's very acidic, and it causes that metabolic acidosis in the body, which is counteracted by the kidneys, first by using the glutamine from muscle proteins to produce ammonia to neutralize the acid. But over time, the kidney function becomes impaired if your diet is too high in acid, and then the mineral balance is compromised. So the blood pH rises slightly, and calcium from your bones is required to keep the blood pH balanced. And here's a really big point. Since maintaining this pH of the blood, your body considers that to be more important for your survival today than the minerals of your bones for your stability. When you are much older, your body slowly steals, how dare it do this, but it slowly steals from one part of your body to pay another part. So it steals calcium from your bones to help the pH level so that your blood is a little bit more alkaline than acidic. And so changing over to an emphasis of more whole foods, plant-based foods, will stop this metabolic acidosis, and it supports healthy kidney function so that you keep the minerals in your body in balance. An alkaline diet that will consist of low-fat, high-fiber, low-sugar foods like fresh vegetables and fruits, and complex carbohydrates like organic whole grains and legumes, that's the diet you want to emphasize. I would also say, you know, check out a blog that I wrote today for everyone. You know, I've had an Ionizer Plus device in my kitchen that makes my fresh, delicious, purified alkaline water of the right pH. I've had it for 20 years. I drink this water, at least a half a gallon of it all day long, and use it in my recipes. So, here's bottom line: is when the body receives the nutrients it needs, osteoporosis reversal becomes inevitable. And in my book, Wired for High Level Wellness, I've got lots of recipes for green juices, green smoothies, chia puddings, and other things that helps to keep your blood level at the right pH so you don't leach calcium out of your bones and you'll keep your bones stronger.
The book Wired for High-Level Wellness, Simple Ways to Rejuvenate, Meditate, and Prosper is at Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com, along with much more information on what we're talking about today, strong bones at any age. Let's go back and talk about calcium. We're told we need to drink milk because it's got calcium, and that will make our bones strong. What foods are rich in calcium?
Well, one food that's really rich in calcium are sprouts, like broccoli sprouts, alfalfa sprouts, red clover. And one of my books I wrote called Kitchen Gardening teaches you how to grow sprouts so you can make them fresh. It takes about 2 minutes a day in the corner of a kitchen, and they're so delicious. I've been doing that since my grandmother taught me when I was a teenager. But your goal is about 1,000 milligrams or so of calcium a day in the foods you eat. That's much better than in supplements. And some foods that have calcium would be milk and cheese. I choose not to eat dairy products, but if you do, that would be a good source. Almonds and almond milk, I make that fresh a few times a week. Yogurt, you can get dairy and dairy-free. Chia seeds, turnip greens, arugula, tofu, and soybeans, spinach, pistachio nuts, I love those, walnuts, sunflower seeds, collard greens, broccoli, kale, salmon, black-eyed peas, sesame seeds, That's why I make tahini dressing a lot. So would you repeat all of those foods, please, Rick?
I'm writing them down, and I'll get back with you later. I'll give you a call later. I'm going to type these out formally, and then I will get those off to you. But there's enough there that in a lot of those foods you're mentioning, like pistachios, it's like, yeah, I like that. So you not only have the enjoyment, but they're healthy for you as well. We need to take a break. Our guest on the program is Susan Smith-Jones, PhD. We're talking about strong bones at any age, preventing and reversing osteoporosis. More with Dr. Susan after these messages. This Week in America, our guest on the program, Susan Smith-Jones, PhD, talking about strong bones at any age. I want to go back to something you were talking about before, mineral supplements. Are there minerals that are important that we should be taking? And how about supplements? You mentioned that. Do we need to take supplements?
So I love this question because a lot of people think that for good bone health, you've got to take lots of calcium, and studies show that too much calcium from a supplement, not from the food, has been linked with a higher risk of cardiovascular death. So instead, I say prioritize vitamin K2 and vitamin D3. Vitamin D3 improves the absorption of calcium, and vitamin K2 helps direct calcium to deposit into the bones and not into soft tissue like the arteries. Of course, spending a little time in the sun every day will help your vitamin D. I'm the kind of person that doesn't absorb vitamin D so well, so I've got to take higher amounts. Check what your level of D is in your body when you do your next blood test with your doctor. By the way, vitamin K2 activates protein osteocalcin in your bones that forms cross links in the crystalline bone structure. Now, let me make this a good analogy. Oh, okay, I've got one. It can be likened to rebar in concrete, preventing brittleness and increasing its strength. So vitamin K2 may not really increase bone density, but it does improve its structure, so it resists fractures. And you can get vitamin K2 from eating fermented vegetables every day. If you're not getting fermented vegetables, I take a supplement that's vitamin K2 and D3 together. It's a really good one. I get it at Hallelujah Diet. But getting adequate vitamin C, magnesium, boron, vanadium, and other bone-building minerals are also critical. And these, Rick, can be found in leafy green vegetables.
Ah, very good. Very good. Now, a lot of information in the program. And again, I mentioned if you go to Dr. Susan's website, find the information there. You'll find all of this and much more information in her latest book, Wired for High-Level Wellness. All of that at SusanSmithJones.com. You can click on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk a little bit here, actually a lot, about exercise. How important is exercise to prevent and maybe reverse osteoporosis? What are the best kinds of exercise? Let's go through some of them, and please go into detail. I want people to really get something out of this, because exercise is something that is good for us on so many levels, and certainly trying to prevent and reverse osteoporosis.
Yes, okay, I love this, and I will go into detail. You may recall that in America, I was the first fitness trainer in L.A., in the 1970s, you know, when I was 3 years old, Rick.
The youngest in the country,
yes. And I've been working in gyms. I taught fitness to students, staff, and faculty at UCLA for a little over 30 years. So I know about this. I know a lot about the importance of fitness on the entire body, including your bones. And I think of bones in terms of architecture. Bone is a living tissue, and it's constantly breaking down and rebuilding, like our muscles. And weight-bearing exercise, if you have a good program, can work wonders at strengthening your bones, as well as helping rebuild bone mass. So, you know, if you have osteoporosis, we can rebuild that mass. The type of exercise you do can be aerobic in nature, like walking and jogging. It can also take the form of resistance training with weights. High-intensity resistance training, in particular, helps counteract many of the risk factors associated with osteoporosis. So, in other words, improve strength and balance and increase muscle mass will all help promote the chemical and physiological processes evolved in and involved with osteoporosis reversal. So I'm going to go through three different areas as quickly as I can, but help everyone know exactly what they can do today. I'll start with weight-bearing impact exercise, and then I'll talk about resistance exercise, the weight training, and then I'll finish with balance. So weight-bearing impact exercise. Those are, Rick, the weight-bearing exercises are those where we hold our own body weight against gravity. And impact means that one object comes into contact with another forcibly. So examples would be walking, dancing, and hiking are perfect examples here that combine weight-bearing on our feet and legs while impacting the earth with each step. There are three kinds of impact exercise. There's low, there's high, there's medium. Let me give you examples of each. Low-packed exercise, low impact, we always keep one foot on the ground. Walking is a low-impact exercise, even when we walk briskly, and we can do this several times a week, depending on distance, speed, and intensity. High impact, as you probably are guessing, is an impact in which both feet leave the ground at the same time. Maybe okay. When you levitate, Rick, I know you do that a lot.
Several
but
times
other
a day.
Examples might be running, jumping jacks, hopping, and vigorous dancing. Now, medium impact exercise involves movements in which we impact the ground with more force than walking, but one foot stays on the ground. Now, you're going to love this because I don't think we've ever talked about this before. A good example of medium impact is stomping. I know when you were a kid and you were upset, maybe you did a lot of stomping, but when you stomp, one foot stays on the ground while the other makes a bigger impact, and it's safer than jumping because you can do it in a doorway. You can do it going upstairs with one hand on a railing or even sitting down. Like right now, you could raise one foot, Rick, and stomp as though you're crushing a can with your foot. And this is one of my favorite exercises to teach older, active women because it also gets out any frustrations you might have. And you get like a satisfaction with a loud stomp on the floor. Now, we also don't want to forget the upper body because we can't ignore the bones like the wrists and our arms. The wrists are a common location for fractures. And we bear weight on our hands and forearms when we do yoga. If you do any body weight activities like planks or push-ups, tennis and badminton are also great ways to impact exercise for your upper body. Pushaways, if you go to my website and put in the search bar pushaways, it's like a push-up, but you can do it on a wall or a tree stump. Those are also good ways to help the upper body. Now, let me very briefly go through resistance training and balance. Resistance training is another way of saying what? Lifting weights or strength training. And research shows that when you lift weights, it builds very strong bones. I've worked for decades in gyms, and I've observed many women skip the resistance training. They might walk on a treadmill. And the other mistake I often see is that women often stay with really light weights forever. And to create changes in our bones, we have to activate the principle of overload. Have you heard about that before? The principle of overload.
Only in drinking.
Yeah, that's right. And but another way you can talk about the principle of overload is with lifting weights, but maybe lifting your big bottles of alcohol would be a good overload. But this means that we have to fatigue our muscles in order to strengthen our bones. I'm going to say that again. We have to fatigue our muscles in order to strengthen our bones. For example, men or women, if you do an exercise 12 to 15 times, you should be so fatigued at the end that you could do no more of that of those repetitions with good form. And if you're not that tired, change the exercise or add a little bit more weight. For upper body strength, I recommend pull and push exercises where you can use an exercise band. And if you have arthritis in your hands or wrists, there's still a way to do these. I don't have time to explain it now, but you can check online. You can get videos to help you. And then finally and briefly, let's talk about balance, part of exercise. It's no surprise, Rick, that if you don't fall, you probably won't break. But balance exercise is a non-negotiable essential in every person's routine. Unfortunately, most balance exercise programs for people over 60 don't include balance exercises that look like real life. You know, we don't fall and break a bone when standing on one leg while touching a wall with our hand.
Exactly.
We don't typically break a bone while standing on an imaginary balance beam next to the chair. But don't get me wrong, it's not that these are bad exercises. They're good for a starting point, but they don't take us far enough into what I call a zone of challenge, and they don't mimic the challenges of real life. Real life includes tripping over a tree root or walking on a slippery surface or stepping down from a steep chair. And to challenge your balance to prepare for real life, these balance exercises need to be dynamic and three-dimensional. This means you've got to move your body, Rick, forward and back, side to side and in rotation. I don't know, have you ever seen those vibration machines that you can stand on and they jiggle and shake your body?
Yes.
Yes, those are great for you because you can move forward and backward, side to side. You can do dumbbells while you're doing the vibration. They're really good for your bones and your circulation. And my most favorite way to strengthen my bones is through hiking. Because you're on an uneven terrain. You're not on cement or grass, which is often level ground. You're on uneven terrain. You've got a few pebbles, a few rocks, and this builds up something in your body called proprioceptors, a great word to bring up, of course, at a boring party. How are your proprioceptors? Proprioceptors, they help you with balance, and you build those up as you do as you walk or hike, especially on uneven terrain. This is why I love to hike all over the world, all over America, and in my backyard here in Santa Monica, and I see so many older people hiking that say stay strong, good bones, they don't fall, because they've been hiking their entire lives. A great, great activity.
Great information. And all of this, and Dr. Susan is giving us a ton of information, diet and exercise. You'll find that in her book, Wired for High-Level Wellness, Simple Ways to Rejuvenate, Meditate, and Prosper, one of a number, I think over 30 at this point, holistic health and lifestyle bestsellers that she's written. You'll find those at her website, along with her monthly newsletters that you can sign up for, information, a blog on today's program, SusanSmithJones.com. Let's go back. If you actually have been diagnosed with osteoporosis, are there any exercises that you should not do?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that, because the answer is yes. If you've truly been diagnosed, you don't just think it, but you've been diagnosed of having it in your spine, you don't want to hunch or crunch. The lumbar spine is designed to have a natural curve inward. You know, in in anatomy terms, that's called extension. The opposite is flexion, which rounds the spine forward. Excessive flexion, in other words, going forward, of an osteoporotic spine can lead to vertebral fractures, also called compression fractures. You see, the fronts of the vertebrae can experience too much pressure, and then they give way in the form of small cracks. So several movements that cause too much flexion should be avoided if you have osteoporosis of your spine. And this would include hunched posture, standing or seated, sit-ups, and abdominal crunches. And again, don't do them if you have osteoporosis of the spine. Rounding your back when lifting an object. And flexion of your spine in yoga, Pilates, other forms of exercise with repetitive forward bends. You want to keep your lumbar curve neutral if you have osteoporosis of the spine.
All of this, once again, at Dr. Susan's website. We'll give you some information on that here in a couple minutes as we end the program. We do have a few minutes left. Let's go back and maybe, if you would, summarize what we've talked about on how to keep our bones strong, how to prevent, and we found out we can reverse osteoporosis. Sort of summarize the key points.
Yes. So let me go through that with you now. You always want to take the steps to manage the controllable risks associated with osteoporosis. That can go a long way. And remember, that was, you don't want to be a smoker. You don't want to live a sedentary lifestyle. You want to make sure that you do eat lots of fruits and vegetables. You don't want to overdo the protein in your diet or the salt or the caffeine. Sorry to tell you, Rick, that you don't want to do excessive amounts of alcohol. So all of those are things that you have control over, absolutely for sure. Let me also mention that an alkaline diet, which is emphasis on lots of fruits and vegetables, weight-bearing exercise, that means your body's weight and especially lifting weights, a good quality vitamin D3 and K2 supplement. These will all provide the body with what it needs to rebuild your bone mass. Of course, vitamin C, get the sunshine. The good news is that osteoporosis reversal is possible when the body gets what it needs. Now, I'm a big believer, and I'm going to give you a telephone number. I'm a big believer in getting a device in your kitchen. It can work, and I've had mine for 20 years. It's never broken down. And I make fresh alkaline water every day. Because remember, if your diet is too acidic, and 80% of Americans eat a diet that's too acidic, it's everything other than fruits and vegetables is acidic. And for you to have good, strong bones, you want to have 80% of your diet to be alkaline-forming foods, and the other 20% to be acid-forming. Most Americans do just the opposite. So because of that, I highly recommend drinking good alkaline water every day. You don't want to buy it at the store. It's too expensive. It comes in plastic bottles. It doesn't maintain the right pH. And you want your water to be the perfect pH, which is about 9.4 on that scale of 0 to 14 I told you about. So in order to have the assurance that I've got a good alkaline diet, I drink a half a gallon of good alkaline water that I make fresh every morning in a device that comes out over the use of the device to be about 14 cents a gallon. And you know, I own no stock in any company, but everyone I know that's into health has a good machine that makes the right water. And I use a machine called the Ionizer Plus. I wrote a blog about it on my website today. You can read it about why this water is important and how to test what your acidity level is by checking your urine in the morning. You can do that. But this is made in Colorado Springs, in Boulder, Colorado. So it's mountain time. I'll give you a toll-free number. It's 800-794-5355. 800-794-5355. And they're willing to give people, if they say they heard us, Rick, heard me talking to you about this, they'll give you $300 off your purchase.
Fantastic.
Which is nice.
And they could send like half of that to you and half of that to me then, because we've given them this.
Yes.
Now,
that
probably
would be
a bad
lovely.
Idea. Probably a bad idea. That's humor, if you happen to think that we're serious about that, or a bad attempt at humor. But that is good, and it's great information. And I want to sort of wrap things up here. I've been giving the website, the book information. Talk about how we can get copies of Wired for High Level Wellness that has all of this information, and what we can find out at your website, because that blog you're talking about that will have the information that will save you some money is on your website.
Yes, absolutely. So go to SusanSmithJones.com and make sure right on the homepage, in the picture of me on a bridge, it says new free newsletters. Click there. So once a month you can get a free My Healthy Living newsletters. If you go to blog and you scroll down to An Alkaline Body is a Healthy Body, click there. You can read all about your metabolic acidosis, your body's pH, the blood level, how to test it, and why this alkaline water is the best and the most cost-effective in the long run to make your own fresh alkaline water. I use it in all my recipes, too. So you want to check that out. And definitely go to new book. You can learn about my Wired for High-Level Wellness. If you go to more books, you can click on kitchen gardening. And also, one of my books is an exercise book. I talk about the bones in that book, too, called Invest in Yourself with Exercise. Amazon carries all these books. Or if you go to my website to each page for each book, you'll learn how you can get an autographed copy by me. And I write you a special little note card, and I give you a bookmark, and I go to the post office myself and mail these anywhere in America or the world.
And you can find all of that at Dr. Susan's website, which is SusanSmithJones.com. Go to our website and link on directly and get all that information, a wealth of information at our website. Dr. Susan, great show today. Our topic has been strong bones at any age, preventing and reversing osteoporosis. Thank you for joining us back again next month. Looking forward to another conversation and more great note-taking, because you can learn something from listening to the program. Thank you for sharing all of this with us.
Thank you, and don't forget to go out and do some stomping today.
Need to do that, stomping, and I still like that going out and hiking, because you get the nature involved in that and really working on balance rather than standing around the house on one foot and think you're accomplishing something. So we learned a lot. Get outdoors, breathe in some fresh air, enjoy nature. All the notes, everything we talked about today at the website, SusanSmithJones.com. You're listening to This Week in America, back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.